Blog Talk Radio.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but your credit card
has
been
declined. Your unemployment benefits ran out 2 weeks ago.
What do you mean I'm overdrawn?
2 weeks ago.
I still have checks left.
Two weeks ago.
Too much month left over at the end of the money. Bad credit holding you back. Want to become a real estate investor but haven't won the lottery? Learn how to fix your credit. Get out of debt and build true financial independence with real estate in 2 hours a week. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She'll show you how, without winning the lottery or working 10 jobs. And here's your host, Heather Wagenhall.
Salutations, everyone. Welcome to the broadcast. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your hostess with the financial mostest. And we are broadcasting live from the HQ Real Estate and Investment Offices in Scottsdale, Arizona, this fabulous Saturday, January 9th, 2010. Can you believe it's 2010? I am so flipping my cookies. It's 2010. And how have you been doing so far? I know that my year got off to a very interesting start this week with some sudden employment changes, and so that I kind of wasn't prepared for. But nonetheless, I'm dug in because remember, for Scorpios, it's supposed to rain money for us this year. So my buckets are still dry, but I'm holding out hope. So Karen, our illustrious, effervescent, super popular, intelligent, and good-looking show producer, segment host for News by the Numbers, and chat room moderator, is at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Nevada. And she is helping out one of our sponsors, Kinesis Industries, the K3 Charger. So hooray for her. They say she's working, but it's Las Vegas, so who knows what's happening. Hopefully she'll come home with more money than she left with. And in her absence, I have the next fabulous, effervescent, super popular Gianni Kurtz sitting in the broadcast chair for her. She will be moderating your chat room, so if you have any questions or if you're answering the trivia question and you call in or chat in to win, she will be more than happy to assist you in all of your chatting or conversing on the radio needs. So this week is our second key in the Keys to Riches series, and it is take action, make assessment. Take action, make assessment. So we have many things to talk about on the show today. I'm so excited because while we are taking action and making assessment and what that really means to you as an individual when it comes to your financial planning, it means that you need to stop sitting on the fence, because last week we assumed our ability to respond, our responsibility to our financial situation through acceptance and affirmation, and then we started telling ourselves how fabulous we are, and now we're going to go out and do something with all of that fabulousness. And how are we going to do that? Well, in the second hour, in our nuts and bolts segment, we're going to talk specifically about how to take action and make assessment, because while it's fabulous to have a plan, the best laid plans don't execute themselves. We have to execute our own plans. So we're going to learn how we can take action. And the first action we are going to take, now that we have accepted our financial lot in life, we can move to correct it. But we need to know where we are, because it's really hard to take a trip and go somewhere if you don't know where you're originating from. It's so important to know where you are. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, and if I wanted to go to Los Angeles, I would need to take the I-10 westbound. However, if I didn't know that I was in Phoenix and I just hopped on the 10 and maybe I went 10 east, I'd end up in El Paso. So it's really important to know where you're starting, because even though you say, I want to be financially independent, I want to be rich, I want to have $1,000 in my checking account that's just fun money that I can go out and blow at any time. Whatever your financial goals are, if you don't know where you're starting, you're never going to get there. Because how can I put aside $100 if I don't realize that I'm starting at like negative 200? So I've got to know where I'm at in order to know how I can take the trip to get there. And that's what next week is all about. It's going to be planning the trip, because that key is dreams with deadlines. So this week we're going to learn how to take action and make assessment for our current financial situation. We have an incredible store, an incredible show in store for you today. I'm so excited about our Investor's Edge guest, Shoshana Simpson, is going to be calling in a little bit later in the broadcast. And she has written a book for those of you who have graduated from college and have no clue what you should be up to. She is going to clue you in on our Investor's Edge. We also have, in the second hour, in addition to Nuts and Bolts, we have our key guest, our Unlock Your Wealth protege, who is doing financial coaching live on the air. We have famous NASCAR driver Stephen Light joining us, as well as all of our regularly scheduled segments, save for News by the Numbers. We have Minutes on Your Money coming up next, and the Millionaire Minute, as well as our trivia question for this week. And so from our previous broadcast on the Millionaire Minute, we talked about the five steps to becoming a millionaire. All you have to do is name one to win, just one. And that's all. And you can call in, chat in, or email in to win, and we have fabulous prizes. Okay? We just released Season 1 and Season 2, the Best Of interviews, so you can win those for one of the correct answers. You can win a CD set for yourself of Season 1 and Season 2. From this show, we have culled the best of the best interviews and made them available for you. So you can go right to the meat with all of our celebrity interviews. Armando Montalongo from Flip This House. We have Sharon Lecter from the Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and 3 Feet from Gold series. We've got Tom Hopkins. We've got Mac Newton, famous author and motivational speaker. We've got Fan Merrill also from Flip This House. We've got Fox News correspondents and all of the great guests that we had with all of their significant and poignant interviews, all set aside just for you to enjoy. In addition to that, you can also choose an autographed book from one of our previous show guests. You can also have financial coaching if you so desire, since it's a new year and maybe a new you. Why don't you add financial coaching to the picture to ensure your financial freedom? And you can win a series of coaching sessions by answering the trivia question correctly. Additionally, we have identity theft protection available for you and certified credit report reviews up to $150 value from one of our certified reviewers. Find out where you stand with regards to your credit report. So all you have to do, again, is answer from the Millionaire Minute, name one of the five steps we talked about to becoming a millionaire. If you want to call in, simply dial 718-508-9002, 718-508-9002, or if you are in the chat room with Gianni, just give a shout out and say, hey, I think I have the answer, and she will take your answer, and we'll see if it's a correct one. Additionally, you can always email the show, because just because you don't listen live doesn't mean you don't get a chance to win. Somebody might not have answered the trivia question during the show, and you can email in to win. So just simply send your answers to trivia@unlockyourwealth.com, trivia@unlockyourwealth.com. And we would be happy to see if you are the next winner. So, 5 steps to becoming a millionaire. Hope you get it right. I'm so excited. Okay, real quick, we have from Magazine Daily News from the Realtor Magazine. Will home prices go up or down in 2010? Some real estate researchers are forecasting that home prices will fall again in 2010. Fireserve Lending Solutions, a financial analytics firm, predicts that the prices will decline an average of 11.3% in 340 almost all of the markets. They're predicting that they're going to see another 11% decline. Moody's Economy.com foresees another 8% drop, with Arizona, thanks, that's my state, California, Florida, and Nevada feeling even more pain. Sherry Olison, author of Foreclosure Nation, Mortgaging the American Dream, predicts a national average decline in prices of about 10% in 2010. Peter Schiff, president of Euro-Pacific Capital and the most bearish of bears, says that real estate prices could possibly fall, and he's predicting a whopping 30% before they hit bottom. National Association of Realtors chief economist Lawrence Yoon sees it all differently. Well, of course he does. He predicts that home prices will rise more than 3% in 2010. And he says that the headwind we face is rising mortgage interest rates, but the compensating factors will be the home buyer's tax credit in the first half of the year and increased job creation in the second half. Yes, however, they are not taking into account this huge movement of folks who are able to service their debt, meaning they make plenty of money to make their mortgage payment, and they are choosing to walk away and rent for the next couple of years. They're willing to take the hit of a foreclosure on their credit as opposed to the $100,000 to $200,000 hit that they're taking in equity on their homes because it doesn't match up with their financial goals. And nobody's talking about this. I keep talking about it. I'm hoping that some of the major news outlets start talking about it. I saw one story on local news here in Arizona, but since the story was from a fellow in the biz, so to speak, I'm guessing that they probably were listening and decided, ooh, there might be a story here. But there's a tremendous movement of people that are walking away after all these other people who couldn't afford their homes screwed up the market for them. They're choosing to walk away, and they're saying, why not? And I'm willing to take the hit because I don't have any other issues financially. I've got a stable job, and I refuse to pay this. And my mortgage companies aren't working with me. They're making loan modifications for all the wrong people, and it's unfortunate, but that's what's going to cause this double bounce. Some home prices are stabilizing here in Arizona, but again, we haven't taken into account all of those walkaways that are happening right now. Bankrate.com, my guy Steve Bucci, 10 ways to dump your debt in 2010. He says a great deal has changed in the past year, and even more has changed over the decade since we ushered in 2000. He recalls that he remembers the world that knew it might have ended due to being unprepared for the dreaded Y2K bug. Do you guys all remember that? Lurking in our computer networks. He says that never materialized, and neither did our more positive resolutions to cut back on our debt. So now that we are a decade into the new century, he says it's appropriately to offer 10 tips for the next year that will help get that debt devil under control. So tip one, know what you owe. To get where you need to be, you need to know where you are starting. Oh, my gosh, could that be a theme for today's show? Oh, it just might be. Tip two, yes, you can with a plan. Having a spending plan for your income is the best way to ensure that you are spending your hard-earned money in the way you want. Tip number three, make your own treasury stimulus plan. Review your income tax withholding. If you're getting a refund of more than $600, you might want to adjust your allowances for withholding. Tip four, save like there is a tomorrow, as opposed to spend like there is no tomorrow. Start an automatic savings plan. The simplest way to avoid unwanted debt is to have money set aside for unexpected or large expenses. Tip five, have nothing. Half of nothing will be something. Commit money you don't have yet to paying down your debt. Huh? I know we spend money we don't have yet. Use at least 50% of any new raises, bonuses, tax refunds, or other sources of additional income to give yourself a boost in paying off expensive debt. Tip 6, beam my payments up, Scotty. Set up automatic electronic banking payments, and that way a late payment cannot trigger an increase in your interest rate. Tip 7, debtor beware. Head off possible interest rate increases before the new CARD Act goes into effect by reviewing your credit reports. You want to do this because they go into effect in February. Number 8, if it's too good to be true, it usually is. Don't fall for debt settlement scams or schemes. Lenders don't want to settle. If you must use an attorney or don't do it all, tip number 9, jingle bills. Don't forget to plan for this year's holiday expenses. Every year, people seek help after the holidays because of overspending on gifts. Be prepared this time. And tip 10, don't call the Ghostbusters. Ignoring a financial problem will only make them worse. Get professional help now if you need it. You can find a trusted, nonprofit, free credit counseling agency at AICCA.org or NFCC.org. Card issuers will be required to include a toll-free telephone number for credit counseling on statements after February. And that is your Minutes on Your Money. Coming up next, I am so excited about our next guest, because our Investor's Edge guest, Shoshana Simpson, is an editor, professional speaker, syndicated columnist with The Post Online, and author of her first book, Life After College, What Your Parents and Professors Never Taught You. She has been featured in the Samford Advocate, Newstime180.com, Power 104.1 FM's radio show, What's Good Hartford, an 89.5 FM's radio show, in addition to now adding the Unlock Your Wealth radio program to her list of accolades. She's also been featured on Black Introspectives, Empowering 20-somethings with real, no-holds-barred advice on successfully transitioning into life after college. Her favorite quote is, "You may be disappointed if you fail, but you are doomed if you don't try," and that's from Beverly Sills. So, Shoshana, welcome to the broadcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Great to be here.
I am so excited. You know, the power of social media brought us together.
Yes, it did.
And, you know, you just couple that with the power of the universe and good old serendipity working hard on our behalf. What happened, so the audience will know why the lovely Shoshana is joining us today, is our guest dropped out right before we went to publish the e-zine for this week. And we were like, holy cow, what do we do? And we couldn't seem to book anybody. So we did an emergency call out on our favorite request for news sources, Haro, Help a Reporter Out. And Shoshana, not realizing the scope and the breadth of our radio program and what we do here, she just retweeted our Haro call out for guests. And I was so grateful because that's so neat. That's one of the powerful things about social media and Twitter is you can help share through your network someone else's cause. And She chose to facilitate our cause, and as a result, when I clicked on her personality profile on Twitter and I saw what she did, I said, this is my guest for the show. I don't need anybody else. I need Shoshana. So I'm so excited to have you on the broadcast, Shoshana. You know, the goal of this show is each week we talk about crisis management and financial wellness tools designed to help everyone, man, woman, and child alike, manage their finances and attitudes for the single purpose of achieving financial independence. Right. And your website, 20t.com, is all about helping to facilitate recent college graduates on their next steps.
Exactly.
And, you know, they come out of college, they've got $50,000, $100,000 in debt. They think they're going to get, you know, this rock star six-figure-a-year job. And when the rose-colored glasses of graduation come off,
they
what do we
have
left?
Disappointed.
Yes. Yes. So when people find your resource, what is the first thing that you share with this college grad crowd?
One of the first things that I share with them is just to relax a little bit, because there's all that excitement when you're coming out. You know, you're done with school. Some of them are excited. Some of them are really sad. And, you know, it's just like, take a moment and just take this all in. And, you know, you don't have to rush to make any decisions, because I feel that when, you know, sometimes you graduate, you're like, okay, I got this. I'm going to rush and make quick decisions on jobs and money when you're not really sitting and thinking. It's like, is that really where you want to go? Are you really planning? As you mentioned before with your tips, you're in the minutes on your money, where your theme is kind of to get to where you want to go, you have to know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just really sit and plan, because now they don't have the structure of going to class every day. This is like they're planning out, you know, what their life is going to be like.
And that's a tough thing, you know, because you've had this regimentation all your life. You know, your full-time job was to learn. And so
yeah.
You learned all through grade school, and then you had a bit of a transition because high school was different. And here, where I went to school, I went to elementary and then right to high school. We didn't have a junior high where I grew up.
Oh.
And so that was kind of an interesting little twist. And then I went from having the same class every day to when I started college, all of a sudden I only have to go twice a week or three times a week. And so that was kind of like a weird gig to get used to. And then I was responsible for that other time period of learning. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. I have to start taking on some responsibility. You know, I have accountability for these classes now and an obligation to learn this material, and somebody's not going to spoon feed it to me. And so now these kids are just graduating, and so now their life changes yet again. So
right, they have a total blank slate now.
So
if
someone went away to college, you know, they can continue to stay away, or they can, you know, flop on the sofa back at mom's house if they haven't had their bedroom re-rented while they were gone. So after you tell them to slow up, what are some of the main concerns that college grads have? When you say slow up, don't make a whole lot of decisions, what are the decisions that they typically face?
Well, they're, of course, you know, with the recession and everything, how it is now, a lot of them are really concerned about jobs. So some of them are really gung-ho and pursuing those. Some jobs, I would say, might be out of their league at this moment when they're first coming out. And they're so fixed on that top position that they don't think of the maybe, you know, take little baby steps and just try and get into the company that they're going for. Say it's like a high Fortune 500 company, and they're trying to go in there for like a producer or a manager or something to that effect, instead of, you know, trying to find other ways to get in there and work their way up. So instead of just going like for just an example, like the president or assistant to the president.
just start at the top, right?
Right, starting right at the top. It's like, all right, sometimes you just start, you know, on the bottom or maybe in the middle, and then you work your way up. You just can't go right to the top like that. It would be nice, but it doesn't really happen that way.
Yeah, I know.
So a lot
it
of
does
them,
if you're an entrepreneur, but then that means that you're at the top and you're also at the bottom because you're like the head janitor too.
You are everything.
Yeah, so that's always a choice, too, is to go out on your own, but without any real-world experience. Not that it's impossible, but it is much more difficult to try to be successful without any industry experience or track record. And that's the value of being able to work your way up is, you know, I have found that it's easier to lead people if you've done the job before them.
Exactly.
And then because you understand what's required of them, because at one point it was required of you. And so when you share with them what they need to be doing, or especially when you have to have accountability meetings and address things that they're not doing that they should be doing, it's easier to communicate, I think, what their role is and responsibility is, because you have that experience. Say, well, when I did this role, this is how I did it, and this is my expectation of you, and these are your milestones that you need to be accomplishing, and yes, you're accomplishing it, no, you're not. And so the value of working your way up is you get an experience and an understanding that you wouldn't have otherwise, and so I think that that's a great thing about that. You know, it's funny, I am so fortunate to have Karen as my show producer and my e-zine publisher and everything that she does. And when she first started, she was just simply my protege. And she worked her way up to where she is now as the director of brand management. And I remember now that she's hiring people to work under her, she knows exactly how to articulate what the needs of the job are, and she can tell when they're being met and when they're not. And she, you know, tells all of these new people, you know, I was her 13th job interview.
Wow.
Yeah, I was her 13th job interview, and she didn't think she got the job because I also own a real estate company, and so I needed her to have a license to be able to facilitate some of those functions, because, again, at the time she started, she was only my protege, but she wound up growing into something really great. And so, you know, while you always want to be the one to grab life by the cojones, sometimes, you know, good things come to those who wait.
Exactly. And
so how do you address some of the escalating debt that these kids are coming out of college with?
Oh, my goodness. A lot of them, well, first, I would say a lot of the clients that I speak to, they don't really know money management. Skill. They don't have those skills. And so a lot of it is just really trying to get them to understand, like, you know, FICO and how credit cards work and those basic things. Because if you're not studying financials in college or economics, something like that, a lot of them just don't know it.
Oh, you can study that but still not know it. Because personal finance is so much different.
That is true. But some of them don't even know, you know, how to save. And so a lot of it is, you know, just making them understand how to create a budget and things of that nature. So it's just moving slowly. So that's how we start the conversation on that. It's like, you know, as you said earlier, where are you right now in your finances and how are you going to get to where you want to go?
Mm-hmm. And so getting that plan started. Now, what types of accountability do you use to help these college students kind of get on that road?
A lot of we sit down and we talk. It's like looking at their finances and say, okay, this is what we're planning to do. This is how we plan to work out and pay out your debt. And we set up a schedule. And then every week, month or whatever, we come together, we work together, say, all right, how is this coming along? Is this plan working for you? Because as you know, when you set up a budget, it only works if you work it.
Yes, ma'am.
So you can set it up, but if you don't have, what I do is help them, like, all right, they know that I'm expecting to hear that you move, that this is, that you're actually working the budget, that this is really actually a good plan that's working for you. So part of that accountability is, you know, just being there and making sure that they know that someone is expecting them to move this forward. And then when they do, celebrate, have a little party or, you know, an acknowledgement or something, and encourage them to keep going.
Mm-hmm. So in your book, you have what your parents and professors never taught you. So would you say money management is probably one of those top things that your parents never taught you?
Yes. They will, you know, everyone when they, not everyone, but most people when they have, when they're growing up, they had an allowance. And mostly that's, you know, you get the money and you spend it. And that's pretty much how it is when you're younger. So I don't think that a lot of parents are really sitting down and telling them, okay, you have a bank account. Are you saving this much? I'm giving you allowance. Save this much in your account so it can grow. I think they just, not that they are just not planning to do it, they just don't think to.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other things that your parents and your professors have never taught you?
Well, let me clarify with the title of What Your Parents and Professors Never Taught You. This is not like it's not a book that says, you know, your parents are neglectful, they don't know how to do, or the professors, they don't know how to do their job. It's just some things that, you know, as you're older, you already know it and it comes second nature to you, but you don't realize it or remember back to when you were coming out and starting on your own for the first time. You know, no one told you how to do certain things, and it wasn't because they decided not to tell you. It's just so secondhand to them that they don't think about it. But some things that I talk about, the first thing I talk about, which parents actually hate, is, you know, when students, young adults, just move back home, a lot of parents are like, no, 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 don't tell them to do that. Tell them to stay out. You don't want them back home. And but it's to, that part is basically for parents and the young adult, because going away to college, especially if you stayed on campus, you're exposed to a whole lot of different things. You're more responsible of your life, so you've gone through a change in your personality and how you view things. And parents there may still think that you're the same person that you were when you went off, when you were 18, going off to college. And sometimes, so now you're thinking of yourself as a young adult, and they're thinking of you as their young child still. So one of the first things I talk about is how to help build a healthy relationship with, you know, between the parents and the young adult.
Yeah, that was something that was a challenge for me with my mother, because I always still felt like I was being treated like a 12-year-old. And I said, you know, the mothering time is over. I would always say, it's time for you to be my friend. And she would always say, I'll never be your friend. I'm your mother. And I'm like, okay. And so now that I'm in, you know, just turned 40, it's like, well, can't we be friends? And I'm like, no, you're the one that said that you're my mother.
Exactly. You're like, you missed your time, Mom.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's funny. I'll never win with my mother. But, you know, it's interesting. And, you know, I think that not that your title infers or implies at all that parents aren't doing their job, but there are some cultural differences and socioeconomic differences of information that just isn't passed along. I mean, I remember my mother grew up during the Depression,
mm-hmm.
and she's kind of old. So she's a pack rat, and, you know, I used to always tell my friends, you know, if there's ever a nuclear war, come to my house. My mom has at least 6 months' worth of food to support a whole entire bomb shelter.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, she was just and today, and it's like, Mom, there's not an issue today. You know, you don't need so many canned goods. Half of them are expired. You're still going to eat those? So, you know, there's that mentality that came from a particular era that, you know, I used to always have a ton of stuff, a ton of food, and I'm like, I don't need to do this. This, our society and our lifestyle and stuff doesn't dictate that. And it was very expensive to try to maintain a bomb shelter's worth of food.
Yeah.
But that's part of that mindset. And that's not something that was actively taught to me. It was just something that, you know, I grew up with, so I just assumed you're always supposed to have that much food around. But if you're not eating it, and it's canned food anyway, so I'm not a real big canned food fan, it's just wasted money. So there's things like that people pick up, that are not the best money management tools. I mean, growing up, what I learned about money management is if you have a coupon or it's on sale, you're morally obligated to buy it, even if you didn't need it. That's
because it's on sale, so you have to get it.
I know, and so I didn't know a thing about money, except that, you know, I started getting credit cards, and I was a good steward. I was always paying them on time, but I misunderstood how the wealthy really were,
mm-hmm.
and I was flying by the seat of my pants without a nickel to my name, but I had tons of debt, and I looked like I was rich,
mm-hmm.
but I was not very rich. I was hillbilly rich, I guess. There are a lot of things that kids learn, and money wasn't really talked about except for when my brother and I would want something and say, you know, we can't afford that. So that's all we heard. We mm-hmm. never heard, you know, if you save your money and consistently spend less than you make, you'll be financially independent your entire life. That concept was never introduced. And you know, I mean, my dad left when we were real small, so all my mom did was work, and I think that, you know, she was still probably pretty hurt with everything. So she had all of her own issues to contend with to raise two, you know, small children. During the 70s, where women were still discriminated against, you couldn't buy a house without a man, you couldn't get a loan without a man, until 1988, and I was, you know, already out of the house by then, I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine trying to raise two kids where you can't get credit or they gouge you. And, you know, in the 70s is where we had double-digit inflation. And so just trying to do everything to make the mortgage payment and put foods on the table was the most that my mom could focus on at any one given time. And so to try to impart money management skills, of which she didn't have any, because, you know, back in her time, you know, her brother went to college, but women didn't go to college because they got married, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't really have a way to advance herself and dedicate herself to her kids and do what she felt she needed to do at the time. And she did the best she could with the resources she had available. But again, I'm not alone, and I couldn't have been the only underserved person. And so, you know, college-age kids kind of go nuts because you're legal age, so you could do things you couldn't do before, and I'm not talking about voting. and so we're autonomous, we're trying to make choices, we still want to be treated as a kid, but now we have obligations that we've made, financial commitments that we have to start repaying when we get out of school. And those are some big concerns. So outside of trying to take a job that allows you to work your way up and build credibility in a company and manage your debt, what other things can college kids do, or should they know about, that maybe they haven't been exposed to because they've been sheltered, because they've been in academia for so long?
As far as banking?
Just banking or life in general. What kind of skills are they needing to acquire that they may not have by this point?
Oh, some things that they need to know about. Well, really, I also talk about getting an apartment and deciding how much you can afford to spend for an apartment, because I know a couple of even some friends that I have, when they're looking to get an apartment, they're like, okay, I'm going to spend this, and it's like, okay, it's $1,300 a month, and you're only making maybe $30 to $40 a year. Then can you really afford that? So it's really getting them to think about, okay, yes, you want the big ticket items, but how are you going to, can you really afford that?
Right, because you don't get any tax benefits from renting.
Right.
So that's money down the drain. There's no way to recoup that to give you breathing room with, you know, withholding allowances on your taxes or anything. So unless you have a ton of roommates subsidizing that $1,300, that's a pretty big nut to swing for somebody only making $2,500 or $3,000 a month. And they may not even qualify for that apartment, because you know, rent standards have kind of gone up a little bit too in the advent of this mortgage crisis that we've been experiencing. You know, it was, when I do property management, we always used a ratio of 2.5 to 3 times rent had to be minimum income. And now it's 3 times rent or more for some of my clients. They just want to make sure that these people are truly going to be able to afford this property. So because the cost of eviction is so great and you've got legal issues and it's just easier to not be engaged in all of that if you just rent to the right person up front or a better qualified person up front.
Exactly.
So what do you recommend when they go to get an apartment? What are the steps that you feel that they need to take when they start out?
Well, they definitely have to look how much they can really spend a month on you know, living expenses for that apartment and whether it's going to, hopefully it will include in utilities. That's another thing I always make sure to mention. Make sure that the utilities are included in the rent payment, because if they're separate, that's a whole another bill that can fluctuate every month. Because especially with the colder months, or you know, if it's hot, if you like air conditioning all the time, then it could be high. If it's your cold climate you're living in, then that bill could be high if you like to keep the heat on. So it's really making them aware of all the other expenses, that it's not just the apartment that you're paying for. Like, you're going to have cable, you have a car, you're going to have to pay, either you're leasing it, you have to pay for that. There's all those expenses, just making them aware of all the expenses that it really covers in fully being an adult and living on your own, getting your own apartment, which I call the badge of independence.
Oh, I like that, the badge of independence.
Badge of independence, getting your own apartment and staying in there and being okay with financially secure in there.
What happens, or what are you advising young people to do? They have gotten their own apartment, they've gone out, they've gotten their first job, they're all excited, and then what do they do when they get displaced? Like right now, you know, last season we had a coaching client who got phased out of her job. It was like the job of her dreams, and then it kind of went away because the company wasn't doing so hot. You know, what do they do then?
It's a lot of getting on, well, if it's phased out, if you're laid off, of course, hopefully they can go and get unemployment. But while they're there, contact temporary agencies, and they have, depending on what your specialty is, industry, you can go to specialized. I always recommend going to specialized temporary agencies like creative or accounts or something like that, because they tend to pay more than a general temporary agency. And also, it's all really about networking while they're there. And, you know, Twitter worked well.
Yes,
and
it does.
So, and, you know, Facebooking and using every opportunity out there, because I know a lot of times when people are phased out of jobs or anything, they sit behind the computer and just think that's how they're going to find their next opportunity, and not really realizing that you have to go out and really, really meet people and put your face, give people a face to your name.
Mm-hmm.
And also hopefully while they're at their job, they're saving so that in the event that that does happen, they can be okay for a couple of months.
What kind of resources do you have available on your website, Twinity.com?
On the site, I have articles on just about almost every topic. I have some for job placements I recommend. I have a colleague that I work with, Melanie Saluka, of redinkbiz.com, redink.biz, and she helps the resumes, cover letters, and she has events every so often over here in Norwalk, Connecticut, and really helping people to revamp their resumes, because sometimes you've been shopping around a resume for a long time if you're not getting a response, and sometimes if you get that refurbished or go to someone else to get fresh eyes on it, they can help you tailor it to the person that you're trying to persuade to get you in for an interview. I also talk a lot about health and keeping, you know, yourself in shape, especially when you're in your 20s, because that is the time to start practicing so that when you come out of your 20s and your 30s, you're not having those problems that are caused by lifestyle. They call them lifestyle diseases like diabetes, high blood pressure, and all those that can lead to problems, which can also be costly.
Very costly.
Yes. Yeah, so the goal is to get them into that now, also, you know, helping them hopefully think about getting life insurance because you're healthier in your 20s, hopefully, then it's cheaper to get it than
it's
when you're
way
out.
Way cheaper.
Exactly.
It's way so those, cheaper.
So those are the types of things. I try to cover everything that they would need to know now so that it costs them less when they get older.
Yeah, that's such great advice, and I'm so excited to see that you have that resource out there for college grads, and it's custom tailored to what do I do next. We're at already the close of our time together today. If folks want to be able to get a hold of you, what's the best way someone can reach you?
They can reach me. They can reach me at my visiting the website, actually, is the best way. It has all my contact info at twentity.com, which is spelled twentity.com.
Great. Well, thanks again so much for taking time out of your Saturday to join us, as well as being our last-minute fill-in, and what a wonderful fill-in you have been. And for those of you who are driving around or unable to write down that email address or website, you can always go to our website at www.unlockyourwealth.com and be able to link over to Shoshana and Twentity.com. We have more Unlock Your Wealth Radio coming up right after this.
Stay tuned for the second half of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio with the Keys to Riches, right after this. Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S. Industries.com. Like, go there, totally.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Diradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Diradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Diradori. Call Diradori now at 480-661-9662.
Karen Gurm here. You probably recognize me as your segment host for News by the Numbers. Did you know I am also one of the certified NLP practitioners and a financial coach here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation? The most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Here I am. Oh, you thought I wouldn't show up? You thought you could take your credit cards, live beyond your means, spend all you want, not budget a plan, and avoid me? I'm your worst nightmare, baby. Do you know who I am? My first name is Bad, last name is Dead. I promise you, I'm the one that you'll never forget.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio this Saturday, January 9th. And we will not have Mr. Bad Debt around this year, will we? No, we won't. We're done with Mr. Bad Debt. What an awesome time that was having Shoshana here, and what an incredible resource. As always, unlockyourwealth.com for links to previous show guests. So no one's answered the trivia question yet. So again, on last week's broadcast, we talked on the Millionaire Minute about naming one of the five steps to becoming a millionaire. Name one of the five steps to becoming a millionaire. Now, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, of course, welcome to the broadcast. And we always take our trivia question from a previous show. So as a regular listener, you'll be able to have an edge on the competition to win fabulous prizes. But let's say you miss the broadcast. Well, how can you get an edge on the competition, even if you are a regular listener and you podcast regularly? Simply subscribe to our electronic magazine in the fabulous Unlock Your Wealth Radio e-zine that Karen Gurm publishes each and every week. It has news, tips, tricks, tools, and information to help you become financially independent. And in addition to all of that, it has the trivia question in it. So if you haven't listened to a previous broadcast and you are a subscriber, no worries. Find the question and then go back and listen to the broadcast, and then you will have an edge over the competition. To subscribe to the e-zine, you can do it a few different ways. You can, if you are listening from the show page at Blog Talk Radio, scroll down to the bottom of the show page and drop in your email address into the button that says sign me up for the e-zine. Or you can surf over to our website at www.unlockyourwealth.com and hit the subscribe page and become a member of the broadcast. Or you can simply send us an email at ezine@unlockyourwealth.com. ezine@unlockyourwealth.com. If you subscribe today, we will also, for those who are subscribing today, make available show notes from today's broadcast. That is a digested version of all the interviews and information in a bulleted list available for your easy reading and recollection. So if you want to jog your memory about, oh, what was it that I learned? Show notes are so great because it's a bulleted list that will help you retain that information and be able to deploy it at any given financial moment. So now it is time for that ever popular segment.
Tell me,
Yes, it's that time again for the Millionaire Minute. In this segment, this is where we crawl into the heads of top millionaire thinkers and put out 60 seconds of tools you can incorporate into your life right now today. And today we have the 8 secrets of financial happiness from Paul B. Farrell. And he talks about some really great ideas from Gene Chesky. Use psychology to reduce money stress and increase peace of mind. The psychology of money, now known as behavioral finance, has a positive sign. It turns out that you can use psychology to increase your financial happiness by reducing your money stress. Could that be neurolinguistic programming? Anyway, of the 8 secrets to financial happiness, number 1 is learn to want less. The advertising media has programmed America's brain, and not just to blindly buy stuff. We have been cleverly programmed to believe that more is never enough, and we must have the latest and greatest. These unconscious brain commands are the main cause of America's low savings and high debt. Master your mind, and you will master your money. Number 2, get organized. If you're on overload and reacting from crisis to crisis and multitasking isn't working and you do what's easy and immediate, what's crucial, what's distracting, no plan, stuff piles up, all that clutter costs you time, money, and stress. So get on top of the paperwork, master your fate, and start now. Number 3, set goals. A few decades ago, Yale polled graduating students about goals. 20 years later, they discovered that the ones with clear goals made more money and were happier than all of the others put together. Define where you want to be in 2026. We'll do that next week with Dreams with Deadlines. Number 4, plan your spending. Spending more than you make? The problem is most of us don't even know. You need to know. Find out how to track your spending, boost your savings, eliminate high interest debt, and ultimately live within your means and enjoy it. We're covering that today. Number 5, invest sensibly. Here is another equation to hardwire into your brain. Nothing saved equals nothing invested equals no retirement. Yes, the world is scary and it's getting scarier, but you keep saving, you keep investing, and build a well-diversified portfolio that will weather the storms. Number 6, protect what's yours. Gene Chesky's work comes from a Roper Center survey of 1,500 Americans and the habits that breed financial happiness. The happiest people are often the ones that protect themselves and their families with insurance, wills, and trusts. Could that be another one of our keys in the Keys to Riches? That reminds me of Warren Buffett's 2 rules. 1, never lose money, and 2, never forget rule 1. Number 7, start talking about money. We keep too many secrets about money. We talk more openly about sex, religion, and politics than money, yet money's the hot-button issue most likely to lead to spousal wars. Open up, talk about money honestly, and get your kids in the game early. And last but not least, number 8, find work that fits. Chesky says happy workers also make more money. In The Millionaire Mind, George Stanley goes one step further. He says if you are creative enough to select the ideal vocation or job, you can win, and win big time. The really brilliant millionaires are those who selected a job or a vocation that they love. Yes, it does pay to be happy. Now, fully and completely integrate these habits now. See yourself in this way. look forward into the future and watch how differently people will respond to you. And imagine yourself with these successes already. Create some affirmations with these tools as well to reinforce what you've just integrated into your personality. And that is your Millionaire Minute. Again, the ever-popular, effervescent Karen Gurm is vacationing, so no news by the numbers this week. But we will be right back with more Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio right after this.
Are you a referral partner of the Unlock Your Wealth Radio program? Would you like to promote your products and your services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call now at 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Reach the people who need your help the most with the Unlock Your Wealth radio show today.
The broadcast, everyone. You are listening to the second half of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And now it is time for our keys segment. For those of you who are just joining us for the first time, welcome again to the broadcast. And simply put, the keys to riches are a baker's dozen of financial concepts that not only teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money, but also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, reduce debt, save and invest, building wealth through real estate, all while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And last week, we started our keys all over at the beginning of this season, and our first key in our baker's dozen is acceptance and affirmation. And last week, your key action item was to create all of the excuses as to why you are not where you want to be financially right now. And I know that everybody's like, "What is she telling us to do?" I got a funny email from a listener this week saying, "That sounded like the dumbest thing anybody's ever told me to do. Like, I need to make more excuses about my money." But they loved the process. It was so cathartic. They made all of their excuses. They got it all out on the piece of paper. And they said how liberating it was when they went back to it, read it, saw how ridiculous some of that stuff was, and then decided to choose to be responsible for their financial situation, and then tore up the list. And like in an instant, all that stuff was off of their shoulders. So if you have had similar experiences when you did that exercise from last week's action item, why don't you call in and share your story? Our telephone number is area code 718-508-9002. 718-508-9002. Or just chat in, and Gianni would be happy to discuss with you what your experiences were, and we can share them on the air if you're a little bit gun-shy and don't want to actually talk on the air. That's okay, too, because you can chat in, and we can still share your valuable contribution. This week, we're moving on to our second key, which is take action, make assessment. Take action, make assessment. So, what does that mean? Specifically, the best laid plans mean nothing unless you execute them. Confucius says the journey of a lifetime begins with one step. This is where some of the rubber meets the road, because folks will say, I am really excited. This is the year, and I'm turning over a new leaf. And when you look at it from outside at this particular person or individual, it's like they've turned over a forest full of new leaves, and they've still done nothing to remedy themselves. And they get all fired up and excited, and they create a plan, and then nothing happens. Nothing happens to the plan. So then it goes, and time goes by, and their finances get worse, and they start complaining. And again, they look at their plan, but they don't do anything. And nothing happens at all in any area of life unless you take action. And showing up is 85% of success. Showing up and starting the process. And again, it's like eating elephant. You do it one bite at a time. What do they say about the Roman Empire? It wasn't built in a day. But you'll never get closer to those goals and objectives unless you take initiative. So today, we're going to take initiative. And we haven't gotten very far. It's like, okay, I'm ready to start, but what am I starting on? So the first thing that we're going to start on is finding out where we are. If we don't know where we are, like I said when I introduced the segment in the first hour, how on earth are we going to get where we want to go? And in the 10 tips for reducing your debt in 2010, it even talked about it. Our 8 ways to financial happiness also addressed it. We have accepted that we can't live this way any longer last week. We decided for ourselves that the pain of change is not as painful as the pain of staying the same. So now that it's too uncomfortable to live like we're living, paying our bills late, or not knowing what our money is doing, bouncing checks, whatever our issues are, overspending on credit, not paying our bills on time, or maybe we just don't know, because this is all for starting out or starting over. Recognizing that you don't know what you're doing is half of the battle, and accepting that you're going to have to make a move toward financial education if you want to become financially literate. And that's the one kind of literacy you can't get by in life without, and that's financial literacy. And it's not something that's taught in our schools, and shame on our school systems, how unfortunate that is. And one of the richest countries in the world that we can't teach our people how to manage our money. But that's another tirade, so I don't want to get off on that. But it's so important to identify where we are now that we've come so far, now that we have come to terms with what we need to do, because we can't stay the same. Maybe we don't know what the next step is, but we know we can't stay the same. So now we're ready to make that change, but we don't know what we need to do. The first thing we need to do is determine where we are. If you're just starting out, it's great. It's a clean slate. I don't have a checking account. I have a savings account that I started when I was 7, or I just got out of college and I have $50,000 worth of student loans and about 5 credit cards with another 10 grand on them. Or I just lost my spouse and I didn't have life insurance and I was a stay-at-home mom and I don't know what I'm going to do next. I don't even, my husband paid the bills. Or I'm getting divorced. So now I'm living on half of what I couldn't live on before. And I still have all of these financial commitments to my children, my former spouse. And now I have to take on a separate residence. So that's another chunk of money that you're going to have to spend. Maybe you're paying for two residences. That kind of cuts into lifestyle a little bit too. And you just don't know where to go. You're overwhelmed. We have to find out where we are, because we can't remedy anything. And we certainly can't engage a road to financial independence without knowing where we are. So the first thing that we're going to do is we are going to take an assessment. And we're going to make that assessment in a different way than people typically do. Most people create a budget, and then they try to live within it, and then they don't. In a few weeks, one of our keys is break the budget, and you'll learn why I don't like budgeting. I think budgeting is like dieting. It's something you go on to and off of. And as a result, you usually end up worse off than what you did when you started. And budgeting does that because it doesn't take into account where we are. You got to know where you are, and you got to be realistic in where you are. Because if you're a family of four and you create a budget and say, I'm only going to spend $100 a month on groceries, but it's more like $100 a week, there's no way you're going to make that. There's no way that you're going to make that budget. It's unrealistic. And so you get frustrated every time you go over it because you set this goal, and now you can't reach it. And the problem is with the goal that you set to begin with, because you set a goal that was unrealistic. But how did you know that? Well, until you evaluate where you are, you're never going to know that. So we're going to make an assessment of our finances, but we're going to do it in a different way. When we're budgeting, we're paying attention to what we're spending in relation to what we said we could spend. And again, so we've already set like this barometer, and it's a line that we're never going to be able to successfully cross. So instead of trying to set a line and then pay attention to what our money does and then not be able to make it, what we're going to do is we're going to assess our finances, and we're going to do it in such a way that gives us the most realistic snapshot we possibly can of what our current spending is. Because in order to create a healthy savings and spending plan, just like doctors and dietitians recommend a healthy exercise and eating plan, we're going to do a healthy savings and spending plan. And it's called savings and spending in that order for a reason, because we need to pay ourselves first, but that's a conversation for another day. But we're going to do this in a systematic way, because we spend emotionally. And you're saying, no, I stick to a budget. It doesn't matter. Money comes in. We're emotionally attached to it. We worked really, really hard to earn it. And so now we are going to spend it because we're so emotionally engaged, emotionally. You know how it's so much easier to tell somebody what to do with their money or their kids, but we don't seem to take our own advice many times. It's kind of funny how we do that. So we're going to do our assessment in a structured way that doesn't interfere, or at least too much, because some changes start to occur, but it will not interfere with our current lifestyle choices, because again, we have to know where we are. So the way we're going to do this is we're going to take a big manila envelope, a big 9x12 manila envelope, and we're going to save our receipts. We're not going to look at them. We're not going to write them down. We're not going to catalog them. We're not going to organize them. All I want you to do is stuff them in this envelope. And no peeking. You are going to save these receipts, and you're going to do nothing with them. And you're going to make sure that you have receipts for everything. If you run into the Circle K to buy a pack of gum and some smokes and you pay cash, you better get a receipt. If you give your child an allowance, you better write on a note card and stick it in this envelope. If you frequent the vending machine at your office for sodas and candy, you are going to write a receipt of your own and put it in this envelope. And the importance of doing this is we're going to catch some interesting habits we have that we don't know we have. By doing it this way, we'll be able to, when we do get to the break the budget key and we learn how to organize and evaluate our financial situation, we're going to track habits. Like the article we talked about, the 8 Ways to Financial Happiness, we're emotional creatures, okay? And we need to talk about how we respond to money. All right. We buy on emotion and we justify with facts and figures. We don't buy on facts and figures. We buy on emotion and we justify with facts and figures. And anybody can take a want and justify it to a point that it becomes a need. I need that super cool red sports car. I need that luxury brand handbag, whatever it might be. I need to go to wherever, Barbados, for the holiday and, you know, slip into a bikini while everybody else is freezing. We can justify anything. So because we're so emotionally attached and emotionally engaged with our money, and we have a whole key about taking emotion out of the picture, we need to be able to track that, and the only way and the most organic way to do that is to not be critical of it. If we're writing down the money that we're spending, if we're tracking it or organizing it in some fashion based on category, it's going to start making us consciously aware of what's going on, and that's going to change the quality of this assessment. So we're emotionally engaged in making money, and we're emotionally engaged in spending money. We also respond differently to our finances at different times of the pay period and then different times of the month. So we're going to save these receipts for at least a month. If you are a commissioned employee, like a real estate or mortgage professional, and only get payouts once a month, you're going to have to do a two-month evaluation. But you need to be saving your receipts for a minimum of 1 month or two or three pay periods. Okay, it's got to encompass 1 month at minimum. And the reason why, and that key appears 6 weeks later than today, because for a reason, so you have time to save all of these receipts. But when we get paid, we are flush with cash. So when we go down to the local pub and we're feeling kind of rich because we just got paid, oh, I'll get that round, or hey, dinner's on me, and you buy for all 10 of your friends. But then at the end of the pay period, before the next paycheck comes, we're flat broke, and now we're mooching off of our friends. Hey, remember when I bought you dinner? Can you catch me back on that one? So, you know, because we respond differently because of all of the chemicals that our body dumps in as we respond emotionally to money and to finances, we behave. It changes how we behave and respond to those stimuluses. These emotional stimuluses, when we're on an emotional high because we just got paid, we're like, woohoo, I got moolah, and then we go nuts. But, you know, at the beginning of the month, our rent is due, mortgage payments are due, some bills are due, utilities, you know, sometimes you can make them middle of the month or stuff like that. So sometimes if we don't strategically plan how we pay our bills, and the system and process isn't really well kept or organized, then we wind up having these extreme feast or famine cycles. And we don't want to materially alter that. You don't want to start saying, okay, I'm going to spend differently today. No. You are not allowed to. You are simply going to spend as you have been. And you're like, what? I know, it's just like last week when I said, make all the excuses you can about why you're not where you want to be. Keep spending as usual. Now, mind you, there will be a time limit on that, but don't change a thing. Unfortunately, what happens through this process is we start becoming a little more cognizant of what's going on, even if we're just stuffing receipts and that's all we're doing. We're not even peeking. We're just shoving them in the bag, living life as we've been living them. Just that awareness starts to come, and it alters some of the organic nature of what we're trying to do. But we're trying to establish what our current behaviors are toward money. Because it's not like we can't do this. Neurolinguistic programming teaches us that we have all the resources available that we need to be successful. We just may have them organized in a fashion that is not currently suiting us. It's not achieving what we intend to achieve. And there's no way around it. We are emotional creatures. I mean, we project our emotions onto our animals. We can do our best to convey emotions through an emotionless, two-dimensional text messaging email world with emoticons by creating little smileys or frowny faces when we send emails and texts, because we can't not convey emotion. We are emotional creatures, and everything we do is an emotional response, and that's based totally on biochemistry, because it's how we interpret stimulus. I'm getting a little ethereal for you, aren't I? And so the stimulus is, I just got paid. What we associate with that is, woohoo, I've got money to spend. Maybe we recognize, ooh, I can meet my obligations, but not always. We're going to work on that. And a myriad of other reactions to that stimulus. And there are three things in life that we control, and only three. And our spouse and our children isn't on the list, unfortunately. The three things that we can control are our thoughts, our feelings, and our actions. And like we talked about last week, our response ability, when we get the stimulus, it's all in how we respond. And what neurolinguistic programming teaches us is our response ability has been largely programmed by folks other than ourselves. And you're saying, okay, now you're losing me, Heather. When we grow up, from ages 0 to 9, maybe 10, our parents influence us. We watch and learn actively by what they say, and they teach us actively. But more is caught than taught. And their behaviors is what we absorb. Do as I say, not as I do doesn't work very long. People will do as you do. You know, for years my mother preached about saving money and investing in mutual funds, but she never had a nickel to her name. She never took her own advice. For the life of me, I can't figure out why. She had a litany of excuses as to why, but remember, we got those out already last week, so we're not going to address excuses anymore. But she had every reason in the world why she wasn't saving, but she preached the virtues of it, so it made no sense. So since I didn't see somebody saving growing up, guess what? When I was all grown up, I didn't save. I had to learn that actively through someone else outside of my family. So from 0 to 9, your parents influence you. And then from 10 to 18, the rest of your value system and decision-making, your core decision-making patterns and skills come from your peers, okay? So it's all about cream rises, and competition is you're only as good as your competition. If you're a great athlete and a champion and you play a novice or an experienced person who does not excel at your level, the quality of your game goes down, okay? And so your associations shape that. Your last years in, you know, being a teenager as you emerge into adulthood. And if these things are wrong in any way, they are going to create problems for you, and you're not going to understand why. And, you know, it speaks to that whole argument, is it DNA or is it your environment? Or is it some combination of the two? Your DNA is the basis, but your environment shapes who you are. And all about your intestinal fortitude and how you react to that environment. Because you can see some people who have struggled and come from nothing be so super successful, and then people that had everything in life handed to them, and they can't make their way out of a paper bag with a map. So this is what we're trying to evaluate. Those patterns that other people established in us. Because if it's painful right now for you to stay the way you are, and the pain of change is not as uncomfortable as it once looked, then you probably have some significant conflicts with some of the patterns that you have. And so in order to identify what needs to change, and everybody knows to spend less than what they make, so that's not what needs to change, is your responses to the stimulus in your life and how you manage that. And neurolinguistic programming is all about creating patterns for success and emulating other successful models. It doesn't seek to diagnose or explain away why things are the way they are. It just helps you to tweak your current core patterning, your value system, and your decision-making behaviors into ones that better serve you. And so what we're going to seek to do is assess where we are financially. But in this financial assessment that we are about to undertake, we are also going to learn so much about our behaviors and our attitudes toward money. What happens when you're at work and a sale goes great and you're on an emotional high? What do you do? Do you run to the vending machine to buy a soda? Do you go out and buy yourself something? How do you respond to that stimulus? What happens when you're flat broke and then, you know, you get a call from your kid's teacher telling you that your kid is a problem in school? How do you respond to that? Okay, managing ourselves and our behaviors directly impact our finances as well as every other aspect of our lives. And the three things that we are in control over are our thoughts and our feelings and our actions. And as we learned last week in the affirmation portion of last week's key, what we think about, we bring about. So if we're thinking about our successes at things, if we are embodying and envisioning us crossing that finish line, making the winning save in the baseball game, throwing the three-point shot at the buzzer and it goes in, then that's what we're going to have happen. But if we're envisioning a myriad of problems in all of our daily life and we wallow in misery, well, that's what we're going to bring to fruition too, because the brain is such a powerful tool. and what you think about, you bring about. And so by doing this simple assessment, get a receipt, put it in the envelope. Spend money, write it up, put it in the envelope. We're going to be able to identify so many things, not just what is our money doing, but now we're going to start getting to some critical mass here. Why, when everybody knows better, are we doing what we're doing with our money? Why am I perpetually indebted? These are things that we learn from our parents and from our peers. And unless we had a significant disagreement with our value systems and we were able to actively make the judgment, no, that's not the right way to do things, then that's the pattern that we're going to exhibit. That's the behaviors that are going to keep us impoverished. And so we're going to identify those based on how we react throughout the different pay cycles and throughout the month with regard to money. So we're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back with more of the Keys to Riches on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Has your cell phone or iPod ever run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Well, now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power, or charge your device right now on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Dirodori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Dirodori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Dirodori. Call Dirodori now at 480-661-9662.
Are you a referral partner of the Unlock Your Wealth radio program? Would you like to promote your products and your services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call now at 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Reach the people who need your help the most with the Unlock Your Wealth radio show today.
Karen Gurm here. You probably recognize me as your segment host for News by the Numbers. Did you know I am also one of the certified NLP practitioners and a financial coach here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation? The most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Hi, I'm Tony Stewart, driver of the number 14 Office Depot Old Spice Chevrolet, and you're listening to Heather Wagonaws on Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagonhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. No, finance, and specifically your personal finances, are not mission impossible. With the Keys to Riches and the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation, it is all mission possible. So before the break, we were talking about taking action and making assessment. And one of the greatest things that I discovered, and I discovered this actually trying to help out someone else, and I had no idea how powerful a tool this really was until I started to apply it. It's not what I thought it was. And neurolinguistic programming is what I'm talking about. Neurolinguistic programming, like I mentioned before, is about patterning and modeling excellence. And if you study all successful people, similar things start to appear. And there's certain patterns that evolve as you go from person to person, and they don't change very much. That's why you can model excellence, and you can respond to different stimulus different ways. And I really like the way neurolinguistic programming works, because it's all about body language, word choice, and how you position your words. And that makes all the difference. One of the things that one of the things that I really enjoy was Henry Ford saying, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're probably right. Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're probably right. Because what you think about, you bring about. And the brain works in super powerful ways. It's the most sophisticated supercomputer in the universe. Think about all of the things that we do. Think about if you go to a third world country and they have never seen other people before and you hand them a cell phone, they're not going to have any idea what to do with that. Maybe they'll use it to grind up corn. You know, it might be a tool for them. They might hammer with it if it's got some weight to it. They won't have any idea that it's a communications device. And yet you don't think anything of it. But the quality of our communication has changed so much since we first evolved as the human race. And one of the things about the brain is it always succeeds. It always, always succeeds. It's going to win no matter what. That's why what you say and how you say it is so important. Because that brain of yours does not hear the word no. And I'll give you an example, because you're like, what do you mean? Of course it hears no. How many times has somebody said, don't forget to, you know, put the clothes in the dryer before you leave the house? And what did you do? You're like halfway down the road, and you're like, oh, man, I forgot to put the clothes in the dryer. Well, you did exactly what that person said to do, because the brain does not hear the word no. You just said, forget to put the clothes in the dryer. Because, again, the brain does not acknowledge that negativity. All right? So this is what's so powerful about words. But if you say, remember, we have a definition of what remembering is, recalling information. That's remembering. And so when someone says, hey, will you remember to put the clothes in the dryer? You are going to remember to put the clothes in the dryer. It's so amazing how the brain works. I love neurolinguistic programming because it shows us how to capitalize on how the brain works. Okay? So if you sit there and you tell yourself, I'm poor. My whole family's poor. We just grew up poor. That's affirming poverty. Just like people that try to quit smoking and they say, you know, it just doesn't work. I'm a smoker. They're affirming that they're a smoker. So they'll never be able to quit. Until they see themselves as a non-smoker, they're not going to be able to overcome that habit because they see themselves that way. And every time they say, I'm a smoker, they're affirming that they smoke. The people that have the highest success rate of quitting smoking are the people that don't see themselves as a smoker. You know, if they're those closet smokers, the people that like work really hard to disguise smoking, they're kind of ashamed of it. Because they don't see themselves as a smoker, they just have this little problem that they're dealing with. And those are the people that are more likely to overcome smoking than the people that see themselves that way. It's the same thing with poverty or obesity. And that, here comes that word, justification, that word from last week, excuse. So we can justify or excuse our current situation, and when we do that, it's affirming it. When people that are overweight say, oh, I just can't lose weight, my family's just like this. It's in my DNA. Well, if that's what you believe, that's what's going to happen. The power of belief is overwhelming. Think about people who are laying on their deathbed. They've got some overwhelming cancer or some sort of an affliction or something, or they're in a terrible accident and they're on life support, and for all intents and purposes, they should be dead. And then all of a sudden, they're back with you. It's all because of how they see themselves. And that's why when I say you're in control of three things, thoughts, feelings, and actions, those have to be congruent, and they have to be focused on the things that you want, not the things that you don't want. Because if you focus on the things that you want, the brain will figure out a way to get it. Anything. Whether it's weight loss, quitting smoking, financial independence, you name it. The brain is awesome in the way it works. So you have to be in control of your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions. Those three things are so important. Now, and phraseology is quintessential to your success because, again, what we think about, we bring about, and what we say about ourselves and how we define ourselves is how the brain is going to function based on that definition, okay? And we have two kinds of values inside of us. We have towards values and we have away from values. And it's very interesting in how they work. And let me kind of paint a picture for you. You've got two kids and you tell each of them, if you mow the lawn, you can have $10 a piece. $10 is the carrot. And only one person goes and mows the lawn. person that goes and mows the lawn is motivated by toward values. And I'm saying T-O-W-A-R-D. It's so hard to enunciate properly sometimes on the radio. You can dangle a carrot on a stick and drive people that way and get them to go forward toward positive things. But then there are people who are more motivated by avoiding pain. So the kid that didn't go mow the lawn didn't care about the 10 bucks because he already had $2 in his pocket and he didn't feel like exerting some effort and energy. He's like, well, I still have money, so I don't really need the 10 bucks. So there wasn't a value on moving toward a goal. But if he didn't have money, that would motivate him because he didn't have money. Then he would go mow the lawn, not because he was getting 10 bucks, but because he didn't have any money and he needed money. So now you've got this dynamic here of towards values and away from values. And 90% of people are motivated to move away from pain than they are motivated to move toward pleasure. That's why the Pareto principle exists. The 80-20 rule you've probably heard of. You know, 80% of the wealth is held by 20% of the people. 80% of, 20% of commissioned employees do 80% of the business in an office. That's why that exists, because people are not as motivated to go toward pleasure as they are away from pain. And you can tell by the way people talk, by the way the words that they choose, just like forget and remember. Don't forget and please remember. Simple things like that, the way the brain works. If you say, I don't want to be poor, your brain is going to hear, I want poverty. And so what is it going to do? It's going to facilitate poverty. You're going to manage your money in such a way that you're always scraping, you're blowing everything you have, you are not saving for the future, you're not saving for tomorrow, let alone later on down the road for retirement or anything. You're not concerned with that sort of stuff. And your brain is going to keep you just one step ahead of poverty because you're motivated by pain, and so you want to stay away from poverty. But if you just change the verbiage and say, I want to be financially independent. Now when someone says spend less than you make, that makes sense because you want financial independence. But if I say spend less than you make and you're busy saying, well, I don't want to be poor, your brain is focused on poverty. And so if I'm impoverished, I wouldn't have any money saved. So there's no point in me living beneath my means if my goal is poverty. That means I don't have any money. So your brain will create whatever you put forth as a command. That's why these affirmations are so powerful. That's why we need to focus on what we want and not what we don't want, because it's already inherent for us to move away from pain as opposed to toward pleasure. So it's really important that we structure our vernacular to be in line with what we say we want. And I chose to say that way for a specific reason, because we want and what we say we want is sometimes different. And all of these great things are going to come out during this assessment phase, because as you see what you're doing, because some days when we go to do our, and I'm not going to give away too much of it, but when we go to do our break the budget and we evaluate all of this information that we've taken in during our assessment period, we're going to see some days we did a lot more spending and on certain things and at certain times of the month or certain times of the pay cycle. And that will give us not only the tools to create a healthy savings and spending plan and know what we spend, but we're going to know why we're spending it. And if it's not in line with what we say we want, we can correct it. It's that simple. It's so great. Because money management is more about emotion management than it is actual dollars and cents. Because I know I have encountered CPAs, certified public accountants, that worked on multi-million dollar companies, organizing their finances, keeping track of all that money, and they were still personally a financial disaster. So it's not about knowledge. It's more about responding to stimulus and our behavior patterns. So as we go forward in the coming weeks, we're going to talk more about that, and I'm so excited on how that's going to make such a difference. But that should illustrate for you what's so important about the affirmation process that we talked about. So if you missed last week's broadcast, but you signed up for the e-zine this week, not only will you get show notes, but I'll also send you a copy of the 6 P's for Affirmation Success. And that way you can learn how to properly structure affirmations so at least the thoughts and feelings and actions you can start working on, the 3 things you can control. So for this week's nuts and bolts, in our Take Action, Make Assessment key, our key statement is, in order to make the best laid financial goals and plans work, I must first take action to evaluate where I am starting to ensure my path to financial independence is a success. Again, our key statement is, in order to make the best laid financial goals and plans work, I must first take action to evaluate where I am starting to ensure my path to financial independence is a success. Our key affirmation item, since we're new to the season and you're just starting on the affirmation process, we're going to do 2 affirmations this week to feed your affirmation bank that you've been working on. And the first one is, I actively manage my finances. I actively manage my finances. So that's part of our take action portion of the key. And our second affirmation is, I am great at collecting and analyzing receipts. I am great at collecting and analyzing receipts. So that covers our make assessment portion of this week's key. And we are going to do our affirmations several times throughout the day. The first time we're going to do our affirmations is at night, right before we go to bed. And we're going to say them out loud to ourselves. And we're going to be really thoughtful and complete. Read them slowly so you savor them like a piece of the dark chocolate. They make the pieces small, so you're forced to savor them. So savor these affirmations, but say them aloud to yourself right before bed. And what that'll do is that will start programming your subconscious to think about those things all night long while you're getting restful, restorative sleep. And your brain will start creating new neural pathways to make those affirmations a reality, Because if you're stating them in the present as if they're already happening, well, by goodness, by golly, the brain's going to get that done. Because, again, it's the most powerful supercomputer in the universe. And so then, after a fabulous, restful, restorative night's sleep, we're going to wake up in the morning, and the first thing we're going to do is not run to the restroom, but we're going to grab our affirmations, and we're going to say them aloud to ourselves again, programming now our conscious mind to be focused on our goals. So other than running little Johnny to school and dropping off Sally at dance class and picking up your husband's dry cleaning and, oh, working your own job or going to school or whatever you do, you want your brain to be focused on all of the things you're trying to bring long and midterm as well as short term into fruition. So we read our affirmations and in the first thing in the morning, and then it focuses our brain on positive stuff. The world is inundated with negativity and you don't need it, so you're going to focus on this positive stuff. And then the next time you're going to read your affirmations is any time throughout the day you encounter negativity, whether it's a coworker, a boss, a subordinate, a spouse, your kid's teacher, a sibling, a child, a parent, whoever, a customer, a client, an irate customer or client, and they bring you down and they just cast all of their negativity off upon you, you are not going to take it. You have no room for negativity because you are focused on bringing positive things into your life. So you're going to shrug that off and you're going to grab your affirmations and say them again aloud to yourself, to refocus your brain on positivity, because what you think about, you bring about. It's so simple. The universe is built in an extremely simple way, and our sophisticated supercomputer of a brain is going to do whatever you put in front of it. So if you want it to be focused on positivity and creating positivity and happiness in your life, you got to be focused on it. Now, our key action item is, again, to grab a large manila envelope, 9x12, and start collecting all of your receipts for everything you spend. You are only going to save them. You're not going to do anything else with them. No little peeky, no looky-loo. Don't write them down and organize them in any fashion. All you're going to do is save them. And if you spend cash and are not issued a receipt, you are going to write yourself a receipt. And make sure that you do this for the next 6 weeks. That is your charge for this week. Next week's key is where the fun begins. Because next week's key is we're going to start thinking about what we want. And we're going to concretely write down what we say we want. And then we're going to create the means necessary to bring it into fruition. And that's next week's key, dreams with deadlines, so look forward to that. Again, this week's key, take action, make assessment. I am great at collecting and analyzing receipts. I am actively managing my finances. Throw those two key affirmations in. And again, your action item for the week is to grab a large manila envelope and begin collecting receipts for everything. Now, remember, notice I said don't forget. Remember that this show is not only broadcast every Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, but we also broadcast every Wednesday for a 30-minute midweek update at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So if you just can't wait to get more of the good stuff on Saturday, make sure you tune in, because you never know, one of our trivia questions could evolve from the midweek update. You can listen from our website at www.unlockyourwealth.com, or you can podcast from iTunes in addition, or listen live. We always enjoy your input. So remember, send us your comments at comments@unlockyourwealth.com. comments@unlockyourwealth.com. Sign up for the e-zine at e-zine@unlockyourwealth.com. And as always, visit our website. We have so many news, tools, tips, tricks, and information, and the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation store is open for business. You can now get your hands on Season 1 and Season 2, the best of interviews. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to chatting with you on Wednesday. And remember, here's to your financial independence.
I've had it up to here, listening to a small segment of people trying to put down America. America's the greatest land on earth, and we ought to be proud of what we have. I'm proud of America. I'm proud of our people, and I'm going to prove it. We're American, and damn proud of it.
Frankly, I'm getting a little ticked off.
Go to hell.